Amigos, amigos, and welcome to Record Breakers, a music podcast where a group of friends gather together to share music with each other, an album at a time. It's like a little book club for music. Fun time had by all.
Yes, that's exactly what we do.
Yes.
Have fun.
We're here to talk about music. We're here. I'm Petey Rave, and I'm always all mixed up. Here with me is my team, my squad, my crew, my party, my gang. We've got David.
Shout out to all the hibbity hipsters out there at onlyfans.com/hibbitybibbard.
Exactly. We've got Brett.
Oh, hey, how's it going? It's me. I've got a can of Spam. That's like from 1995, I think.
Shout out to all the hibbity hipsters out there at onlyspam.com/hibbity.
I've also got a Canadian Tire hockey puck, which I think is the most Canadian thing I own.
It's only cans there because it's Canadian and
You know, it's co-branding. Check out my OnlyFans.
Yes.
Synergy.
Check out my OnlyPants where I cook.
That's right, my OnlyCans.
Dangerous, but also.
Hey, of course,
I'm in the top 97 percentile. Sorry,
we've got Drew.
I had a joke about Reggie Miller, and I fucking lost it. So well done, guys.
Hey, I'm really sorry.
You choked. I'll do the Reggie Miller because you choked.
Yes. We're here to talk about an album.
Three times.
We're here to talk about album finally. I don't know.
I've always been down.
Yeah. We're here to talk about an album. Finally. We've got to get this album out of our system. We got to sit down to discuss this. ever since science. We got it. Well, the provider of the album this week is Brett.
I'm sorry, Brett, what have you done to us? This is my fault. I was like, hey, everybody, remember like how funny it is to look back at 311 and dunk on them? I was like, you know, I need to go back and listen to 311 because they can't be. If I'm going to have an honest dunk on 311, I want to actually listen to it. And it's been so long. It's been since the 90s that I've actually sit down and listened to all of this front to back. And I was like, hey, you know, worst case scenario, like best case scenario, I like some of it. Worst case scenario, I get like really fresh information to dunk on 311 with. Yes. Because it's kind of, to me, a hilarious genre of music, that weird rap rock kind of Chili Peppers that was going on in midnight. After Nirvana, everything was dumb for a while, and I wanted to bring some of that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yes. Let's talk about expectations. David, what expectations did you have coming into this album?
I don't know how to give expectations on an album that I remember and recall listening to. I just remember it. I remember it being on the radio. I remember songs. I remember this
being a
thing.
What was the color of your energy?
Kind of magenta. But I remember this being a thing and this being a moment in time. And I was generally okay with it. I found it to be inoffensively not terrible. Like Blaine Gabbert, not terrible. And I really didn't mind listening to this. I'll probably not dunk on it very much at all.
Well, now I'm going to feel bad.
Drew, what were your expectations?
What did I tell you about detached irony?
Yes. Drew, what were your expectations coming into this album?
I'm familiar with 311. I may have said on this podcast before that one of the first albums I ever bought was in fact a rap rock album, by the name of Fundamental Elements of Southtown, from POD.
Oh my God. Yes, that makes sense. You are a bassist.
That's the first, album I bought with my own money. That was an actual album. I think the only other thing I could say that I bought before that was the Pokemon like album. That had
couldn't
a bunch of songs from the show.
Couldn't have bought some Jamiroquai or something.
Yeah. No. Not like Weird Al. Like I think every generation bought Weird Al on CD first.
I had Running with Scissors, but it wasn't my fault.
Yeah, you can tell somebody's generation by which one they bought.
The thing was, I was familiar, but it wasn't super I hadn't heard everything, but I had heard the hits. So I sort of knew where we were going.
Mm-hmm. I was definitely familiar. I feel like I was familiar with the two songs everyone's familiar with, just because they come up on playlists and automated playlists on Spotify all the time. Because I'm usually exploring this era of music sometimes for rock music. Just because I'm the Xennial in me. The Xennial in me can't help but indulge it every once in a while.
Sometimes you have to pray at the Temple of the Dog. Sometimes you have to 311.
Yeah. But I don't know. It's not something I listen to all the time. It's just kind of like that 311 song, and then it moves on to like Weezer and then like Collect a Soul and things like that. But I was curious to like experience the rest of the album. And we're definitely getting an experience and a kind of like reawakening, remembering some things when we actually listen to it. Brett, how would you describe this album musically?
Okay, so let's just start off. We got a little checklist to go through. Are you into smoking the devil's lettuce and getting into a groove? Okay, no. Too bad.
Yes,
too bad.
Yes.
No, you're getting some white people funk with like, and it's funny, but it's like it's serious stuff. It's like there's some really like good rhythm and like drums and bass doing fun things. There's even some other instruments thrown in that are very mid-90s. But like along with that, there's that very fuzzy rhythm of the guitar has a very saturated like distortion sound to it. But there's like the bass guitar's got all kinds of like weird wah effects and like, you know, filters and like phase things going on, and it sounds very much like one of these acts from the 90s with, you know, the fuzzed out palm mute and stuff, and rapping that is not quite, hey everybody, have you heard the news, but it's pretty hilarious. But I wouldn't say it's great. And I like to, in the eras of recording people scratching, this is not quite. I kind of said it was sort of like a pair of snow pants rubbing together, like the friction, like the sound of the scratching is, but it's not quite, it's a little more high fidelity than that, but it is very like, it's not
cute.
There's no Q-Bert going on here. It's going to be a very like, if you were to be me doing a parody of this, kind of the wiki, like it's that. And it's just painfully 1990s, but that could possibly just be because it was ubiquitous. It was everywhere. You were stepping in 311 around every corner for a while. So it was part of the sound of that era. But man, in some of these parts, it sounds like they're great value Chili Peppers. I don't know, there's a bit going on here. I'm wanting to see what you guys focus in on this stuff.
David, how would you describe this album musically?
I would describe this album in a way where I would probably need another drink to really make it clear. I think that if you are of the taste of alternative rock, but you're also inclined to enjoy other things that may not necessarily be in jazz, that headspace, cabbage. The devil's lettuce, the wacky tobacco, if you will, the jazz cigarettes.
Maybe. Are you into snowboarding? Do you drive a Subaru?
Or... If you just like something with a little bit of a bounce in your ounce.
I like bounce. What?
I mean, I always ask for that when I order bounce.
This might be something that you enjoy. It's got some guitar. Are they hyper tight and technical? No, but they will get you to, as they used to say, jump the fuck up in the pit, as it were. And there are lyrics that exist. There are lyrics.
Chill.
And things are said. And there's melody. The guitars themselves are just kind of there. They exist. There are riffs occasionally. But overall, it's fine.
It's fine. Put it on the front of the put a sticker. Seal it, the it's fine seal of approval.
It's fine.
Drew, how would you describe this album musically?
So musically, the album's great. Like musically, the album is fine. The musicianship is all there. There's some great bass work. There's some great bass work.
Of course, he's gonna like Peanuts work.
The rhythm section in this band is super tight. So when you talk about funk music, you need a super tight rhythm section if you're going to get funky or groovy at all. If you're going to get a groove, it's all about, do the drums and the bassist have enough talent to carry that? These guys do. I even didn't mind the snow pants, which I've never heard that analogy, and that is perfect.
It's not a zipper, because some people have the zipper scratch. It sounds like somebody just going, whistle, 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 whistle. But no, this is more of a...
Brett, could you make that sound again, please?
Whistle, 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 whistle. I'm a Foley artist. I'll charge the next time.
Onlyfans.com/hibbity-bipper.
That's right. Co-marketing. Sorry, Drew.
Where? No, you're fine. There's a thing where... This is 1995.
Yes, it is.
The rap that was happening in 1995.
The West Coast Whistle.
Was better than this.
Yes, it was.
Significantly.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But like not even in the same like room.
I remember Ski-Lo, but I remember Ski-Lo because it was dorky and weird. I don't remember Ski-Lo because it was good. For those of you who don't, he wishes he was a little bit taller.
Oh.
To put a point on it. That's... 60 to 70% of this album is great. And then there's rapping to it. I'm like, man, like, you're setting white people back in cool like a long time with that, aren't you? Like, that's just... It's just what we're doing, huh? You're fucking, damn it. Like, I don't know like what to do with that.
White
like,
people gonna white people.
Yeah.
Like, I mean.
Like, name dropping Reggie Miller.
For the record, like, everybody, Brett said that, not David.
No, like, yeah, that. Yes. Everybody's always saying, yeah, this my thick Detroit accent.
How? Like, it's good, but also not, like, I don't, fuck, man. Like, I don't know. It's 1995 from, like, what, Indiana? Trying to do
Nebraska. Rap? Nebraska.
Nebraska. That's
the worst. Don't put that shit on Nebraska us.
And then California. Yes. I'll give S.A. Martinez a benefit of being the Californian.
S.A.
Like, it wasn't awful, but it was still like it was Ski-Lo like levels of rapping.
Some taffy, guys.
Yes. The big thing with this album is there's a lot of elements of it. It goes into a couple of different like modes that were the thing back then, and then a couple of their obvious influences from a few years before this, and with a little bit of like alternative rock on top. They do the like, hey, Sublime made reggae, white kid reggae, SoCal white kid reggae cool, let's do that. And then you get that, those are what the primary singles are. We'll talk about those things like that. Then you also get quite a bit of like, man, We really wish we could just do Red Hot Chili Peppers covers as for a living. So we're just going to write our own kind of sort of okay Red Hot Chili Peppers songs. And we get a lot of that. And we get a lot of... I did not remember that Nick Hexum does as much rapping as he does. I remember, and I think it's because I remember them just for the singles. I remember Nick Hexum was the singer, and S.A. Martinez was the rapper.
Like, I never knew that there was,
Like I didn't realize Nick Hexum tried to say, because fundamentally, S.A. Martinez is not, we talk about the white boy rap, you can talk about the name, he's not a white boy. He does fine.
Here's a question. Is his name the letter S, the letter A Martinez, yes, or is it S.A. Martinez?
I believe it's letter S.A., letter A, but I think it might be a purposeful play on words.
It's like Arby's. Roast beef, Arby's.
Yes,
E. But he does fine. He does a lot of fun raps, and they could be, you know, a little like they're like, I'm not gonna say silly because they're meant to be lighthearted and fun and like.
There are silly things said. I will feature silly.
They're meant to be kind of silly and lighthearted. They're meant to be lighthearted, and it works for him. Nick Hexum, man. Nick Hexum, a lot of his rapping, not great. And a lot of his
below
rapping,
replacement
like,
level.
So,
always so nice.
One of the things that, like, it reminded me of, and we talk about, like, this is of its time, it's like, where we're talking about, this gets me back to, where I will apologize to 311 for bringing this album up in retrospect to them, but it's not, they're not this bad, but it's kind of to get into the same like thought process. When we're talking about Hulk Hogan's Hogan Rules,
Jesus,
it wasn't that bad, but in the sense
out of all
like,
the ones you could have picked, I was like,
Remember what I was talking about, where it wasn't of its time, it was outdated even in its time.
Yes,
his style of rapping made me think of more like the talk singing pseudo rapping of like hard rock bands in the late 80s, early 90s. And really done better. It's like a sad imitation of Mike Patton in Faith No More. When he's like talk singing, like it reminds me of that when Mike Patton did that way better. It's some of those bands that were then like, you know, I think if I remember right, Ugly Kid Joe did some of that a little bit. Like,
whoa, that's a remember some bands.
Yeah,
it was the time.
But that was before this time. That was several years before. Like, it was late 80s, early 90s, and that's like
that from... that rap that was in Roll the Bones by Rush, where the skeleton rapped.
That's what it reminded me of a lot. It felt very dated now, but I could hear it. I could hear it knowing from what era it came from, and just still think, no, it still feels dated. It still feels like whack. That being said,
yes,
there was still a lot of fun to be had. There's fun singles and there's fun songs there and fun moments. Even like, you know, like we were talking about, not none of the detached irony. It's just there's fun moments and there's fun songs. There's fun grooves. It's just that those moments that you like, wow, this is kind of whack. Like, and you're just kind of like,
I am not the one you go to for like hip hop analysis, specifically. But I will tell you, you could do better.
You could do better. But yeah, let's get into the key tracks. Brett, what would be some of the key tracks to zero in on?
Okay, down, best opening of any song ever, that it's just like, you know, you're getting into it, and it's got like butt rock, like guitar, like groove going on, but it is very much a groove song. It's a good time. It's a very, very loud pair of Zubas, but they're still kind of cool. All mixed up, there's like this weird wah or phase thing going on in the bass that makes it sound like a frog croaking. And also it's some of the most mid-90s shit ever recorded. It's like, bottle that up and put it in a Fruitopia machine and you're like, you're there. But Loco had a keyboard groove that was noteworthy. Also, Boom Boom. Don't Stay Home, there's a steel drum, and then there's like a bridge that kind of feels like a They Might Be Giants song. And TMP Combo, it's red, it's hot, it's got some walking unison licks, and you know, it's pretty fun. It's got some of the best lyrics. Zuma Zuma Zoom, yeah, we got the boom, is like that's gonna be on one of my doorbells when I have my programmable doorbell. I already have the MP3 cut of Zuma Zuma Zoom, yeah, we got the boom. It's some of the most ridiculous shit, and I cringed at it every time and had to rewind, scrub back a little bit and listen to it and be like, this is 1995 and somebody spit that into a microphone. So
David, what would be some of the key tracks for you?
Jack-O-Lantern's Weather. I wrote that I described this as an attempt at alt rock with boom bap, and I kind of didn't hate it. Hi. I found myself so amused by this song. It was like if Rage Against the Machine, instead of being heavily influenced by Chuck D, they went with Flavor Flav instead.
Oh, God.
I just found that utterly amusing. It just tickled me to no end. The riffs are basic, which is kind of the story of the album. The guitars just kind of have a buzz, and they don't do anything really spectacular or interesting, but they fit the vibe. Misdirected Hostility is talking about music that's cheesy. Oh, the irony. Okay. But there's some moments on this song where you can actually hear melody and notes, and I appreciate that. Also, the song Purpose. Go ahead and play the clip from Axl Rose, PD. It's for the song Purpose. You know what to do. Give us a break!
Knocking on heaven's door.
yes. Drew, what would be some of the key tracks for you?
Well, Down is kind of key. It's the song, like, I think if you don't know Amber, you know Down, I feel like.
You just got a mouth growl.
What's Amber have to do with this, Drew?
She'll cheer.
Amber, it's the color of her energy.
Ah, exactly. Okay.
I bet my girlfriend didn't hear that.
Bleached hair. Music video. Man.
That's not what I'm saying. But yeah, it is the mid-90s early rap rock, like, pie. It's the sound they made. Like,
there's this a performative in the lyrics.
There is. It's the song, when you think of, like, teens being hoodlums in, like, the coming-of-age movie, or, like, almost like the Foot Clan, like, has this playing in their clothes.
When they're on the skate in their skate park getting cigarettes.
Yeah.
This is, like what the kids from The Sandlot listened to in high school after they kind of grew up a few years and weren't playing baseball as much anymore.
That's it. That's exactly it. I also picked out Jack-O-Lantern's Weather because, holy crap, the drums had no right to be that good. Like, the drums were consistent and, like, a pretty intricate, like, fill through the verses, which was cool. And Sweet, I have to mention Sweet because it had dub reggae and I'm the ska guy.
You get down on the upstroke.
It made me happy to hear, like, dub reggae on the album. It was cool. Like, I'm always down for that. I'm a sucker. It has a Jamaican rhythm in the background, therefore it's cool. Look, yes. I'm okay with it. I Simple Man.
Yes.
But not Leonard Skinner Simple Man.
No. Shout out to I have a couple tracks that stood out for me. Yeah, we'll talk about Jack O' Lantern's Weather. I mean, the sound you're thinking about is, this is where you first get the Red Hot Chili Peppers cover band feel, because this is where you get the Chili Peppers sound.
There's a little boom bap in this, Petey. Wouldn't you say? There's like, a little boom bap.
There's some trying to be Prince.
Yeah. It's a little bit of that, but yeah, it definitely has those moments where they feel Chili Pepper-esque.
Yes.
Guns Are For Pussies, just because, like, it's a fun song, and it is, like, it's fun to listen to, and I just like the I remember that being the other most memorable song from this album was, like, oh yeah, I remember they had a song called Guns Are For Pussies. And yeah, it's also ends up being a really fun song. Yeah, Misdirected Hostility. This one in particular had an extremely boring riff and whack rhymes. Like, it had fun parts, but it was boy oh boy. Boy oh boy. It just was fell flat. And yeah, Hive in particular I have in my notes as being the one that stood out as like the late 80s, early 90s, like, outdated sound. You know, it stood out definitely on that regard. But yeah, let's bring it back around the horn, talk about some conclusive thoughts. David, what would be your conclusive thoughts on this album as a whole?
It kind of came and went, but it was certainly not offensive. I didn't think it was the worst thing I'd ever listened to. It didn't really end with a strong final track or anything. The two singles were good enough to let you know about the rest of the album. It's exactly what it sounds like. It's exactly what it says on the tin. And I want to kind of dunk on this album, but I can't. Really, because it wasn't that terrible, and I'm not gonna crap on something that isn't just completely terrible. Was it 90s as hell? Yup. Was it production-wise not the greatest if you're a guitar player? Yup. It's pretty good if you're a drummer. I just didn't think it was terrible. It was Blaine Gabbert, not terrible.
Drew, what would be your conclusion on this album as a whole?
They're easy to dunk on, because I'm gonna make a weird comparison. We're gonna get there. Because like Limp Bizkit, some of it
yes.
Some of it did not age well, at all. But no. Wes Borland is still in fucking, I think that's the last name. Wes is still in Limp Bizkit.
Yeah.
And those guitars are still real good.
Isn't Buckethead? Never mind.
We already did the Axl Rose bit, Brett.
No,
we did
that already. Sorry.
We did that.
Give us some reggae!
We did it already.
The rhythm and the groove in this album and 311 in general is good. It's solid. It's great. It makes you do that, like, thing. Like, it makes you bob your head in that way of like, oh yeah, this is cool. But it's the album you listen to in your car alone, and you don't know the lyrics to. You just dig tunes because the lyrics in this one don't matter much.
Yeah.
Chill. Is that where Sheesh came from? Is it from this?
I know the Jeff Gerstmann soundboard came from this.
Yeah.
No, that was Dynamo Duck.
Yes.
Also Johnny Tsunami.
Yes. This has plenty of, like we said, this has plenty of things that feel like ripe for the dunking. It's alleys and we can oop as much as we want. It's fine. It's like, I think the main thing that it's dunkable because it is so, most of it is so inoffensive that it's just like, it's fun to dunk on it. It has a lot of fun songs. It has fun hits. You can, it has fun moments and has some fun, drumming and like some bass work, and some fun lyrics, and some lyrics you can just kind of ignore. A lot of lyrics you can just kind of ignore. I think fundamentally speaking, it's an album you should try. I don't know if I could recommend that it's a necessary album to experience. I think you could just
not on your must read list of 2021.
It's you can it, you know, I would say I'm not going to tell you should listen to this. You can if you like, if you have the time.
Come on, Petey. Cut that promo, Petey. Do it.
But PD, your life is fine without
blow through.
Your life is fine without this album.
Burn.
I think you should just go ahead and ignore it. I think if you listen to Down and All Mixed Up, because you probably heard it already if you haven't already. Put those on maybe in a playlist if you feel like it. And then that's all you need to get from this album. That's fine.
Okay. Wait. Time out. With that sick promo, with that burn, question for the representative from Detroit. More unexpected heel turn, Roman Reigns or Petey?
We're going to have to send him to the Nightmare Factory for a little bit. We have to work on it.
No, the factory. not Nightmare Factory, the factory.
No, we're sending you to the Nightmare Factory. We're going to get you in there with Anthony Ogogo. You're going to cut a promo.
I know. Like I said, the factory. With the blue. I got the blue behind me.
something America.
No.
Talk about the boys.
Work on your verbal skills. Got to talk them into the building, Petey.
But I think... It's fine. It's my conclusive thoughts. That is, it's not a must-have, and you can. I would say you don't need to skip the hits when they come on. You don't need to skip the hits when they come on your playlist. But just forget this album ever existed.
There we go. There you go.
It's fine. It's fine. I mean, you can. But it's just corny, and we don't need it. Last but not least, Brett, what would be your conclusion on this album as a whole?
I'm going to go out on a limb here. I did not like this album. I did not enjoy my time with it. I spent way more time than I normally do with an album, but the experiment needed to be done. This was some of the most cheese-ass lyrics I've heard in a long time. Kind of made things better, I'm happy that I went back because now I have a little bit more context and I feel less like a turd for just reflexively dunking on 311. They kind of deserve it a little. Not great, and I agree with Petey. You don't have to listen to this, but if you do, you're gonna find some stuff.
I just to throw the last one, I have more fond memories of the Noise album that David gave us.
Yeah.
Granted, wow, I have a lot.
That is the wow.
That one I have more fond memories than a lot of albums.
Stop, please have
that
some
one.
Mercy.
I have more fond memories of
open
that
up
one
on,
than a lot
open
of albums.
Can Petey Ray?
But like
open
that
up
one
that can.
Because that one made you actually think about something. God damn it!
No, this is thoughtless. Like, yes, it's this. Yeah.
That one actually was an effort and actually made you think and experience something. This is meh. Not to take the last
this
word.
Is meh.
Sorry.
Put that on a fucking. Oh.
Yeah.
Chef's kiss.
Let's go ahead and comment your hate down there. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
There we go.
There's a if
he's
anybody
got a giant spoon stirring that
pot. Tell them haters. Tell them.
We're gonna get some. If anybody pays attention to this episode, we're gonna get some salty, boring people. In the comments.
I mean, this is not for us.
Some boring people are gonna be very salty about our opinions on this album.
Use some spice. Fine.
No, they think we're gonna get people that think salt is too spicy, with bad
spicy mayonnaise.
There we go, Petey. That's right.
But yeah, those are our thoughts on this album. Now we get to the main event of the evening, the moment we've all been waiting for, where we sum it all up in poetic form, making true art. our haiku reviews. We give you the 575. Let's get down to the nitty gritty. Haikumero numero uno. David, what is your haiku?
It's kind of goofy. Rap rock reggae seasoning. Jump the fuck up, kids.
There's no seasoning in here. Drew. What is your haiku?
Mute my mic. reggae 90s rap, white dudes. white dudes in the middle of gangsta rap classics.
Yes. my haiku. Though it's fun at times and promotes positive vibes, it's fucking corny. last but not least, Brett, what is your haiku?
Zuma, zuma, zoom. Appreciate the effort. Yeah, we got the boom.
Wait, hold on. Hold on. I have to ask the judges. Given that this was a haiku, haikus do not normally rhyme. I pose that I have to throw the red card on.
Zoom and boom don't actually rhyme. Because you got to get them out. New boom.
I'll allow it.
Well, I ain't writing another one. So.
not for this album.
No, they did not. 31-1 does not get another haiku.
All right, so those are our thoughts on 311's 311.
I'm sorry again.
Now wipe it away from my memories. You can, of course, find it on our Spotify playlists. I'll do it because it's part of my rules. but you can find it on our Spotify playlist. Play Record Breakers, a home game. Do your due diligence and your due diligence. Follow along at home. On that Spotify playlist, presumably, will be next week's record, and it's provided by Drew. Drew, what have you got for us next week?
Well, this is something, I listened to some of their stuff, and it's going to be actually, I think, the first album I've brought in a while that I haven't listened to all the way through, but I've listened to enough of their stuff to know it's interesting. And it's something that I think deserves talked about in a weird way. Three guys. By the name of Adam, Jack, and Ryan, came up with a very inventive band name. This is AJR with OK Orchestra.
Okay. I look forward to that.
This is not anything like OK Computer, I'm guessing.
Yes.
No. Blue Man Group's on it, though.
Oh, God.
Yeah. All right.
That is a fascinating thing to know. So we look forward to that next week. But that'll be next week, and this is this week. And, of course, you can find us all over the internet. David is at Call Me DJM. Brett is at Hibbity Bear Bread H I B B I 2 Y B I B B A R D. Drew is at Drucifer X. X Drucifer X, not Drucifer. X Drucifer X. I'm at PD Rave. The show is at 4 Record Breakers. That's the number 4 Record Breakers. RecordBreakersPodcast.com. RecordBreakersPodcast@gmail.com. Rebelly.net for this and other shows. Rebelly TV on Twitch and on YouTube. Knocking things over. Follow us on. It's not right. Either way. Follow us on Twitch for the live streams, where you can catch us on a nice tight schedule, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, where we do D&D on Tuesdays, this show on Wednesdays live. You can catch us every episode a week before it posts on the feed. Thursdays we do Space Truckin', where we play Starbound. Really fun time. And Fridays, I do my Let's Play series. Nowadays, I'm doing Mass Effect, so you can keep an eye on that to go through Mass Effect 1 now. Really fun. I'm kind of getting back into one of my favorite series of all time. So check out the schedule. Find us everywhere you find podcasts. Like, share, subscribe, do all the things. Until next time, hasta los huevos.
Toodaloo.
A Belly Podcast, baby.
Fighting.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.